Call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:32 p.m. It's Friday, March 15, 2019. Before we begin, I want to thank Robert Montenegro, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Madison Truitt from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Eastman, Representative Wool, Representative Kopp, Representative Shaw, Representative Stutz, and myself, Representative Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is a confirmation hearing. The Speaker has referred the following governor's appointment to the Judiciary Committee, the Alaska Judicial Council. Members have received the appointee's application. We will now open public testimony. And Mr. Parker, because you're on the phone, hold on. Please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as that makes sure we have better sound quality. And if you would then put your name on the record, and you can proceed with your testimony. Can you hear us okay?
I can. Thank you, Chairman Klayman. My name is David Parker. I am a resident of Wasilla and have been serving for the last 5 years as a member at large for to the Alaska Judicial Council, a non-attorney member, and I have been reappointed by the governor and need to pass through the Judiciary Committee for confirmation. I don't know exactly what you would like to know about me. I believe you have a packet there of my information. I began my professional life as a teacher, worked in Yemen Arab Republic, was a pastor for 18 years or so, having been a pastor in Portland, Oregon, the Ivory Coast, West Africa, Bremerton, Washington, France, Nice, France, and then also in Anchorage. In 1995, I became a police officer. I became a detective in 1998. I was a generalist at that time. 1999, specialized in crimes against children, sexual assault, and homicide. Was promoted to the Anchorage Police Department sergeant in 2003. Had the responsibility of restarting the sexual assault response team program with the Department of Health and Human Services, led by Jewel Jones and Bev Woolley at that time. And became a detective sergeant of the Crimes Against Children Center, and with the help of Mayor Mark Begich and Corey Bryant, we were able to put together a multidisciplinary center, which became quite kind of the probably the best available in the state of Alaska, and now has been emulated in many different areas of Alaska. Then in 2007, became a detective lieutenant, had the Crimes Against Children, Sexual Assault, Cyber Crimes, and Vice Units. 2008, became the Public Information Officer under Chief Rob Hume and then Chief Mark Mew. And you, Mr. Chairman, were, I believe, for part of that time, the mayor, Craig.
Mr. Parker, you're 100% correct. I remember well your service in the Anchorage Police Department in those days.
It was a good time. I retired December 31st of 2012, and then was drafted by my friend, the chief of police at Palmer, to come and serve part-time as a patrol officer because they were short-handed and needed someone to fill in. And that was really a joy because I was able to get back into the kind of police work that I started in 1995, and it was just a great experience to work in a small town as well as a big town. So with 21 years of law enforcement contact with the judicial system, I was appointed back then by then-Governor Parnell to the Alaska Judicial Council, have been able to serve under now three governors, Governor Walker, as well as Governor Dunleavy, and have had the privilege to serve under three chief justices, Dana Fabe, Craig Stowers, and now Joel Bolger. It's been just a real wonderful time in my life. I've enjoyed the council. It's hard work, but I think it's very important that we seek to have the very, very most qualified judiciary that we can possibly have, a fair and capable judiciary that's willing to follow the law. So that's basically Dave Parker in a nutshell.
We would say that you're doing a very good job of being the public information officer for the Dave Parker application. Are there questions for Mr. Parker? Looks like you're getting a pass from all members of the committee. I'm going to now move on to public testimony. Is there anyone here in the room or online? I see none online. Is there anyone here in the room who'd like to make comments or questions about Mr. Parker's application to continue his service on the Alaska Judicial Council? Hearing and seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing. Any further comments? Well, I think everyone passed on questions. Comments from members with regard to Mr. Parker. We'll do my routine next in the queue. Up first would be Representative Stutes. Any comments on Mr. Parker?
None other than he appears to be an excellent candidate, and we are very fortunate that Mr. Parker has agreed to serve on this committee, and I would like to personally thank him.
Representative Eastman, comments?
And through the chair, I wanted to thank you for your willingness to serve, and was glad to see that on your resume are many good things. CASA stood out to me, so did your association with APOA and many other good things. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just echo the comments of my two previous legislators, and I'm glad he's willing to serve again.
Representative Kopp.
Keep up the good work, Dave.
Representative Shaw.
Dave, Laddie Shaw here. I do appreciate hearing back from you. Good for you.
And as chair, Dave, I just appreciate your continued public service. I certainly remember well, actually, when you first got involved in getting that investigation unit for crimes against children organized, and I remember how effective that was in the Anchorage Police Department and your service to that department, service to Anchorage, and now your continued service to the state and service to Palmer and their police department. But I think it's good to see somebody that's actually served on the Judicial Council, knows the hard work that's involved and the importance that the council places on vetting with great care the folks that are applying to serve on our judiciary. Part of the reasons why I think we want to have one of the most outstanding judiciaries in the country of all 50 states. So, having completed our comments, Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee and recommends that the following name be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Dave Parker to the Alaska Judicial Council. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you very much. Mr. Parker's name will be forwarded to the joint session. And as we proceed, please go ahead and sign the confirmation committee report that will be circulating as we go on to our next matter. We had initially planned to take up first House Bill 77, but the general counsel had, for the court system, had asked that we try to hold that off until she's back from another hearing. So what we're going to do is we're going to move into public comment on House Bill 52. I would note for those that are here for public comment on House Bill 52, when Ms. Mead, the general counsel for the court, gets back to the hearing room, we're going to take a slight break in the public testimony on House Bill 52 and go to House Bill 77 and then hopefully conclude our public testimony on House Bill 52. So with that, this is our second hearing on House Bill 52, Crime, Sex Crime Sentencing, Parole, sponsored by the House Rules Committee by request of the governor. I'm going to open public testimony on House Bill 52, and I will start by asking if there's anyone here in the room that would like to provide public testimony at this point on House Bill 52, I think I see it looks like, is Katie Boltz here today? She's from Juneau. I guess she's on the phone. Okay. Is there anyone in the room right now? I'll give a second opportunity for folks in the room, but don't see anyone. First person online to provide testimony is Katie Boltz, who I think is calling in here in Juneau. Ms. Bolt, or not Boltz, Botts. I apologize for mispronouncing. Can you hear us, Ms. Botts?
I can. Can you hear me, sir?
Okay. Please don't, if you're on a speakerphone, please switch off the speakerphone, but you've got 2 minutes. You may proceed. Just state your name when you begin.
Thank you for Mr. Chair and Honorary Judiciary Committee for allowing me to testify. My name is Katie Boltz, and I'm representing myself. Originally, I was raised in Kodiak, where at the age of 12, I was a victim of sexual abuse in my home. The statistics show that the victim knows who raped them. The person who raped me was the friend of one of my brothers. At the time, my home was a safe place for not only my friends, but my brothers as well.
Ms. Botts, are you on a speakerphone?
I'm not.
Okay, can you move just a little bit away from the mouthpiece because you're pretty hard to understand just because of the sound. You can continue.
Let's see.
That's better.
Okay, so we would play video games, pool tables, bike, anything until I was abused. It was multiple different attempts. The person is Alaskan Native, and I was 12, he was 18, before there was 6 years sickness. I tried to hide in every room, tried to sneak in every closet. He knew my family's sleeping pattern and scheduled and worked around that. My mother of all things caught him in the act. Not only did it break her heart, but it devastated mine. I never wanted her to see such devastation in my family. She was the one who kicked him out of the house, called the cop, and set the procedures in place. I was 12. What was a 12-year-old supposed to do? After going to court and having the rape kit done, to this day, I wish he had more than 6 years in prison. To this day, even though I wasn't strangled, there weren't any tools being used. To this day, I remember it as if it was yesterday. For 5 years, every night, I cried myself to sleep. For 5 years, I didn't want to sleep, for I had nightmares every night. I've never spoken to anyone of my nightmares, no family, no friends, no therapist, nobody. Possibly because of the stigma and the embarrassment coming from the victim to say. To this day, I wish we had more than 6 years, because it took me 12 years to recover. People try to get me to open up, try to get me to talk. But it's a topic for some victims too hard to open up about. It's already hard enough to acknowledge that Alaska is the highest sex crime in America. And only 1% of predators end up in jail. If protecting the public is government's best interest, then there has to be something done about it.
Ms. Botts, we usually give folks 2 minutes. I know I asked you to pause for a minute, so I've got you up to about 3 minutes. And my understanding is you may have provided written testimony already?
Possibly, I think so.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You were actually in person here at the Senate when the Senate testified. Would it be okay if we get a transcript of your testimony before the Senate committee on a similar bill, and we can circulate that to committee? Because I think your 2 minutes is up, but we would like to make sure we get the transcript from the Senate hearing on a similar bill, if that's all right with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your testimony. Next in the queue, we've got Michelle Vasquez calling from Soldotna. Ms. Vasquez, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Chair and members of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Michelle Vasquez, and I live in Soldotna. While I wholeheartedly support HB 52, I believe it needs to be amended to make it a third or fourth degree sexual assault for anyone in law enforcement who has sexual contact or penetration with anyone during an active investigation. This is a reprehensible behavior and should not be tolerated. In a state with the highest rate of sexual assault in the country, our legislators should make a clear statement that nobody is above the law when it comes to sexual assault. All Alaskans should be protected from this type of heinous act. So please, amend HB 52 to make it illegal and a sexual assault in the third or fourth degree for any police officer who has sexual contact or penetration with anyone during an active criminal investigation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Vasquez. Next in the queue, we've got Maxine Dugan calling in from Fairbanks. Ms. Dugan.
Hi, it's Maxine Dugan calling with Community United for Safety and Protection. We're Alaska's current and former sex workers, sex trafficking victims, and our allies. And thank you for taking my testimony today. I, too, would like to see this bill have language that includes making police officers guilty of a third and fourth degree felony sexual assault if they have sexual contact or penetration with anyone that they are investigating for prostitution. It goes right here in this section 11.41 that you guys are already working on. So, you know, you need to make a good bill here and make it complete. And, you know, Alaskans support making it a criminal offense for police officers to have that sexual contact. We did a survey a couple years ago, and 90% of Alaskan voters support making police officers guilty of that third and fourth degree sexual assault if they have sexual contact or penetration with anyone they're investigating for prostitution or for sex trafficking. So I would just encourage you, you've already got that language a couple years ago from HB 112 that goes right in this section. So please make a good effort here and do a good job and make it complete and protect all Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dugan. Next in the queue is Tara Burns calling, also from Fairbanks. Ms. Burns.
Hi, this is Tara Burns, calling also from the Community United for Safety and Protection. And thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm also calling to ask you to amend the bill to make it third and fourth degree sexual assault if police officers sexually penetrate or have sexual contact with people that they have under active investigation during an active criminal investigation. I did my graduate research at UAF a few years ago on the lived experiences and policy recommendations of people in Alaska's sex trade. And about a quarter of the sex workers said that they had been sexually assaulted by a police officer, but 60% of sex trafficking victims said that they've been sexually assaulted by a police officer. And Anchorage PD says that these kinds of stings are the primary method that they use of identifying sex trafficking victims. And we know cases where people have called 911 to say that they were a sex trafficking victim, and then instead of following up with them like one would hope, the officers had a prostitution sting operation where it seems that they had sexual contact with them. And that's not what we want to see in Alaska. We want to see everybody who's the victim of a sex crime be treated equally and not be subject to re-victimization by law enforcement. This is a common sense amendment to this bill. You're already in the sexual assault statute. 90% of voters want to see this happen. And, yeah, I want to thank you for your hard work to end the sexual assault epidemic here in Alaska, and ask you to amend the bill to make it third and fourth degree sexual assault for officers to sexually penetrate or contact people during a criminal investigation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't see anyone else on the phone queue to provide testimony. Is there anyone that has come in the room since we began the public hearing that would like to provide public testimony on House Bill 52? Hearing and seeing no one either online or in the room, public testimony is now closed. I will note for the committee that we do have some individuals in the room or online that are available to answer questions. If you have further questions about the bill, that includes Commissioner Amanda Price or Commissioner Designee, Amanda Price from the Department of Public Safety, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General from the Criminal Division, Department of Law, Laura Brooks, Division Operations Manager from the Department of Corrections, as well as Kelly Good, Deputy Commissioner from the Department of Corrections. Catherine Monfreda, Chief Criminal Records and Identification Bureau, Department of Public Safety, Diane Casto, Executive Director, Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, and Sergeant Jeremy Roop, Sex Crimes Investigator from the Department of Public Safety. Is there anyone here on the committee that has questions for any of those individuals? Hearing and seeing no one, then we are going to hold House Bill 52 for further review. That brings us to our third and final order of business today, which is House Bill 77, Number of Superior Court Judges, sponsored by the House Rules Committee at the request of the court system. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. It is my intention to move this bill out of committee today. We did not receive any amendments. Nancy Mead, General Counsel to the court system, is indeed present and available for questions. Are there any further questions about House Bill 77 for Ms. Mead? Hearing and seeing no questions, that bill brings House Bill 77 back before the committee. Any further discussions? I will then open it up for any discussion from members of the committee that would like to make comments about this bill. Representative Eastman, and well, our practice is 3 minutes on comments. Go ahead.
Can I throw in one question?
Representative Eastman, I'm happy to go back to questions.
All right, thank you. And my question is just generally, I know this statute that we're changing deals with the relative number of judges in each district, and I'm wondering if there's some metrics that we have or just some anecdotes dealing with, you know, what's the relative busyness of the districts? What's the relative caseloads? Are those fairly uniform across the districts, or are they significantly different?
That sounds like a question for General Counsel Nancy Mead.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Nancy Mead, General Counsel to the Alaska Court System.
Welcome back. You heard the question?
Thank you. Through the chair to Representative Eastman. The courts are relatively of the same busyness, but they certainly aren't, don't have the same caseloads and activity. Across the state, I can name the five busiest ones, and I imagine most people could. It would be Anchorage, Kenai, Palmer, Fairbanks, and Juneau. Bethel is extremely busy. Ketchikan, you know, at times. So there is not an even number of cases per judge across the state, but the judges also share responsibilities and activities. So literally, if somebody has a long criminal trial, for example, a note or an email would go out saying, can somebody fill in on my child in need of aid cases for the month, or a specific case or something like that. So within districts in particular, there's movement and sharing of responsibilities so that everyone is relatively about as busy as the other judges. But that might be as precise as I can get on that.
Follow-up?
Representative Eastman.
Thanks to the chair. Thank you for that. I just wanted to confirm that as we in essence convert these two judge positions, that it was fairly easy to identify that they should in fact be going into the third judicial district.
Through the chair to Representative Eastman, it was easy to identify that.
Any other questions? How about comments? Anyone have comments? Seeing no comments. And I would just, as chair, I would just note, having actually years ago tried cases in both Valdez and Cordova and in Homer, and interestingly enough, when I was in Cordova, it was District Judge Joel Bolger, based in Valdez, coming to Cordova to preside over that matter. And it was apparent that if cases got heavier, that the notion of keeping district court judges in some of those areas might someday make sense to convert that to the Superior Court. I remember Judge Cranston every morning when we were in trial, and Homer would drive down from Kenai every day, and if he was delayed in traffic or everything else, you could just sense that it wasn't the most efficient setup, but they didn't have the caseload yet to justify it, and I can understand how those things have changed. So may I have a motion, Representative Stutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move version 31-LS0591/A of House Bill 77 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Hearing seeing none, then House Bill 77 moves from committee. And just make sure you stay long enough afterwards to sign the paperwork. And with that, we will adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Monday, March 18th at 1:30 p.m. following the Judiciary Finance Subcommittee meeting, which begins at noon. And with that, we will stand adjourned. It is now 1:57 p.m. Have a nice weekend, everyone.